Going to do a little sharing tonight on expectations. So, couple things on here. This was from the book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Treat a man as he is, and he will remain as he is. Treat a man as he can and should be, and he will become as he can and should be. Okay? And so for ourselves, we have to look at it, for our children, for everybody. When Christ, when we get anointed with Holy Spirit, because when we accept Christ and we do Romans 10, 9, and 10, we are clothed with power. We have Holy Spirit. And that comes with a huge benefit of all kinds of, it's a package deal, if you will, where we have all these things available to us. And so when we teach ourselves, when our expectations are, well, who am I? What can I do? You know, we have to rechange our thinking for what we're able to do. So too many times, and I'd hear this all the time, you know, a new commander would come in the military, and everybody would be like, well, what's he like? What's he like? Oh, he's no different than the other one. Well, what did you expect? Okay, and that was always the cop-out for anything that happened. What'd you expect? What'd you expect? Bad's going to happen. Everything's going to fall apart. Everything's going to just fall down. And this is what we expect. Expect it. Okay, that's just how it is. And so when a wild animal bites, you know a tiger bites stripes. Everybody say that. You know a tiger bites stripes. Well, tigers, this is what they do. Okay, everything falls apart. Nothing ever goes my way. My health to go bad as I age. And I fight that as things start to come to me. And I'm like going, I won't accept this. I'm just going to speak against these things. And why? Because Yahweh wants me to. Now, I can sit back and just go along and just go down the coast with the water, with everybody else. Or I can stand out and say, guess what? I'm not accepting this. And I'm going to stand against these things. And which do you think Yahweh wants? Okay, does it cost Yahweh anything when he does miracles for us?
Yeah.
No, absolutely not. It's already there. When Yahweh gives us money or enables us, it's a shift from one to another that's already there. It costs him nothing. It's actually a wonderful blessing that he can be like going, hey, somebody here, think about as a kid who you bought like a PlayStation game for him. And you bought him two or three, games to go with it. And then they just put it out there, they hooked it up, and they never play with it. And you're like going, golly, man, I really went to a lot to find the sale to put that all together for you, and you won't even use it. And I think about our, Yahweh, how he looks at it, and he goes, I've given Holy Spirit upon you, and I want you to use it. I want you to do it. So whenever we do, he gets excited over this. To be looking for the coming attacks. And this is one thing I think that within the believer's world, that this is something that people fear for. They're to be looking for coming attacks and to despair, that is everywhere. Everywhere there's despair. And so we feed on the despair versus feed on the wonderful things that are out there and available. And so you see that as you look through the Old Testament, the healings of people that took place. Where you're like going, you could imagine the despair that's in a person's life, and now something comes in there and changes that. And I'm like going, holy cow, that's what we should be focusing on. All right, another quote here. This was from William Carey in 1792. Expect great things from Yahweh. Attempt great things for Yahweh. Okay? So even when we do these things, even when we put our expectations out and we start pushing ourselves to manifest and do the things that we're supposed to do the laying on, the healings, to be speaking his words, to be prophesying and speaking in tongues, Yahweh's excited that you're doing this. That, hey, look, this is expecting great things, and at the same time, I am doing great things for. So expecting from Yahweh, but me doing for Yahweh. And another one here. And this is one I loved, and this is a scripture that I think is so important here. For as touching Yahweh, seeing that his eyes are ever running to and fro throughout all the earth to show himself strong with them who are perfect, or what that refers to here, if you look it up there, his heart is loyal towards himself. And so what we're looking for is a lot of times people are like, I'm not worthy, I'm not this, I'm not that. Once you have Holy Spirit, you have tapped into the access. And so now it's a new tool, and as we start utilizing this and working it, we become more familiar with it. Yahweh is looking, it says his eyes are looking to and fro to find people who are willing, that he can show himself. So we're not going in and tapping in, God helps those who helps himself. And I'm like, chapter and verse. Yeah. It's nowhere does it say that. As a matter of fact, it says Yahweh's looking for to show himself strong. So he's looking, hey, who wants some of this blessing? Who wants some of this grace? I will give this to it. I will pour it out for those who seek. And so that's our attitude. Our expectation should be, Yahweh, I'm ready. Show me where I need to be. What do I need to be seeking? What do I need to be doing? What can I do? What can I receive? Let's flip over to Acts 3. There's Izzy. And the page there is 121 in the New Testament. Acts 3. All right. Acts 3, page 121 in the New Testament. And it's in the very, very bottom right corner. We're going to actually start in verse 1. Okay? And everybody there?
Chapter 3.
And we're going to start, I have it as 2. We're going to just start at 1 since it kind of breaks at the end of there. Okay? All right, so let's look at this here. What we're doing is we're looking at expectations, okay? And we're trying to gear ourselves and adjust our mind to great expectations, because Yahweh's got great expectations. It's ourselves that limit what Yahweh is able to do for us. So here we go here. The lame man healed, verse 1 of chapter 3. Now Peter and John were going up unto the temple for the hour of prayer, the ninth. And a certain man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried, whom they used to lay daily at the door of the temple, the door called Beautiful, that he might ask alms of them who were entering into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to enter into the temple, was requesting to receive an alms. But Peter, looking steadfast at him with John, said, "Look on us." And again, we did a teaching of that. Eric did that a while back ago. That look, that bleepo, it's a different kind of look. It's a perceive. When I say, "Look at me," like you do with the kid, if you're mad at him, say, "Look at me." You know, the kid, let me know you're serious, okay? This is that. This is this kind of serious. Look upon me. Perceive upon me when I tell somebody. In other words, I want your attention. Not to just, you know, you can think of a person begging, and, you know, they make the eye contact with you, and then they kind of look down and they look, you know, look really pitiful. If you look pitiful, maybe somebody will help you out. They'll give you something, okay? This person was born from the womb, never walked a day in his life. Okay, and so he said, "Look upon me, focus upon me, discern what I am saying. Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have, the same unto thee do I give. In the name of Yahushua Mashiach, which is Christ Jesus, the Nazarene, walk." And laying hold of him by the right hand, he raised him up. Now what did he do? Did he say, "Okay, go ahead and stand up"?
No.
He grabbed him by the hand and pulled him to his feet. Okay, he pulled him to his feet immediately. "Rise and walk." And at the same time, I'm like going, this is bold. This is very bold. And the person's like going, and he, when he tells him this, because you have to think about this whole scenario. "Look upon me that you may receive," that you will discern what I'm telling you, and then gives the healing and grabs him by the hand and yanks him up and pulls him up. Okay? Laying hold of his right hand, he raised him, which is a gyro, okay, which means to bring up, all right, and instantly were his feet and ankles strengthened, and leaping forward, he stood and walked and entered into the temple, walking and leaping and praising Yahweh, or praising Elohim. And all the people saw him walking and praising. Okay, this is important. This is what we're seeing. So when we're expecting, he went to the temple expecting. This is not what he was expecting. He got something much better. Much better. And so this is for us when we do this. This is the expecting that we're looking for as well. "Blessed is he who expects nothing, for he shall never be disappointed." Okay? This was a poet in the 18th century. And I'm like going, how true is that? How true is that? To the person who's content, then you will be content. That's fine. If you want to push your horizons, if you want to push your borders, if you want to do these things, then guess what? A person who wants to go out will get. But if you expect nothing, if you're not, "Well, I just, whatever I get, whatever I get," well, then that's what you're basically going to be. You're going to limit yourself. One more from Earl Nightingale. "Our environment, the world in which we live and work, is a mirror of our attitudes and expectations." And so that's the other thing. As we look around, this is a self-assessment. And you'll see that when you're in the military. You'll hate that word, self-assessment. Okay, they'll call it all different kinds of things where, you know, but they go through. But it's so important to do that, especially in the military. Because the military, we're supposed to sweat so that we don't bleed. Okay? That's the whole thing. You sweat hard, you work hard so that you don't have to bleed. And so when you're preparing yourself so that, guess what? By virtue of this, when I'm putting all this energy in the self-assessment, it's so that I know where my shortcomings are. Every time we do some kind of a war planning or some kind of a scenario where we go out and we do these big ones 4 times a year, and we get all the special operations groups would go to one of the bases, and it was all planned out, and it was based around something that was a real world threat. In other words, there were 2 or 3 of those that we practiced with different names, different everything else, but it was something that was geared that if we needed to, we could immediately implement and go. And the most important thing from this, when we were all done, was what was called the hot wash afterwards. And that's where everything's done, everybody gets back together, and we talk about what went good, what went bad, what was wrong, how do we fix it so this doesn't happen again. And it didn't matter how many times we did this, we would always find that there were shortcomings. It just so happened to be us in the communications field, and communications was one of the biggest downfalls. Something would happen and people aren't communicating. But this is where we're doing it. And so when we look around our environment, if we're not seeing ourselves, if we have low expectations and we're receiving low, then our expectations need to change. We need to come back in and say, hey, I need to readdress. Yahweh's wanting. He is searching to and fro to see somebody who's wanting it. Well, guess what? If a person's, nope, I'm good. Check back later. You know, it's like the swan's truck that drives by. Hey, you need anything? Nope, I'm good. Well, that's what Yahweh is. People, he's looking for those he can deliver to, and it's free delivery. Okay? Free delivery. Great food. Expectations. Who's ever had this before? I had it once where I stood on a scale and it said, one at a time, please. But the expectations is kind of funny because I was thinking about a story. And it was a husband and wife, and the husband wanted to lose some weight. Okay, and he decided, you know, I'm going to start exercising. I'm out of shape, got a big gut. I'm going to start exercising. I'm going to change my diet. But I'm completely going to hold off weighing for one whole week. Because when I get on the scale, I want to see a big decrease that will raise my hopes and everything else. So his wife's just like going, all right, okay, whatever. So he does, and so a week goes by, and he gets out of the shower, puts on his boxers, goes to stand on the scale, and his wife's watching him. And she's kind of amused. She's excited for him at the same point, but she's watching him. And he walks up to the scale, and he sucks in his gut. And she starts smiling, thinking, this guy thinks that sucking in his gut's going to make him lighter. And so she goes, honey, that won't help. And he goes, well, of course it will. I've got to be able to see the dial. But the expectations, the attitude is so important on this, on what we're expecting. When we do this, when we walk before Yahweh, when we're calling out, what we're expecting, do we want anything? Are we content to just say, no, we're all good. And I've been there before. I'm like going, I think I'm doing pretty well. I really don't need anything. And Yahweh's like going, all right, you know, I've got a whole treasure trove that I'm ready to give out for anybody who wants. Okay, let me give it to you. Flip over to Acts 12 here, a couple pages down. Page 132. And we're going to kind of dissect this here a little bit, guys. So we're going to start off in chapter 12, verse 1.
She's not humming, baby.
Okay, who would like to read the first three for me? Okay, Isaiah, you were first up on this. Well, you guys will all get a chance to. 1 through 3 there, nice and bold.
Okay. Now in the course of that season,
Herod,
the king of Thirst, forced his hand to harm some of them of the assembly, and slew James, the brother of John, with a sword. And seeing that it was acceptable unto the Jews, he went on the appearance
to apprehend.
Peter also known. Now they were the days of
unleavened bread. Okay, so let's take a look at this here as we start going through. So the first thing is Herod. What do we know about Herod? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Let's go over Herod here. Let's look at a little bit of Herod's line here. Herod the Great, and I would question calling him the Great. Okay. Herod the Great. What did he do? He tried to kill Christ. Okay. Had all the babies, all the males were to be killed. And so what happened to Mary and Yehoshua? They had, and Joseph, they were told to go to Egypt, to a foreign land, to be protected. And why? From King Herod. Okay. This Herod that we're reading about right here, he's a grandson. But there was another Herod in between. This is the son of Herod the Great. This is Herod Antipas, I guess is how you say that. He's known for killing John the Immerser, or John the Baptist, as everybody knows him. Okay, that's the other Herod, another Herod. Okay, so we have a long line of tolerance towards Christians here. Okay, and let's look here at this one here. Now, this is Herod Agrippa. He killed James, brother of John. And what does it say that he did? after he did this, seeing that it was acceptable. So he was the kind of guy who was putting out the polls and poll testing this, and it polled pretty high after he did this because the Jews were not happy with what was going on. Okay? In the days of unleavened bread, which means what? This was a holy time. This is Passover. This is the Jewish Passover here that we're referring to. So putting it all into context. Let's go to the next three. Who is the next one? One of your kids. Okay, let me get you set up here. We're going 4 through 6, sweetheart. Okay, go for it. Nice and bold.
Whom also have seized, he put into the
prison.
Prison delivered him up unto 4 brazens of soldiers to be guarded him and intended after the Passover to bring him up unto the people. Peter therefore was kept in the
prison,
but prayer was endlessly began made by the assembly unto God. Correcting him.
Concerning him, yes. Go ahead,
and 6. When he was about to bring him forth on that night, with Peter sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with 2 chains, guards also before the door were kept the prison.
Keeping the prison. Okay, so let's take a look at this here. Okay, so again, he's got the guy now that he made a big splash, if you will, killing James. And so guess what? Killing Peter, holy cow, this is going to do really well. I mean, his polls are going to climb up. Okay? And so he puts him in prison, but he's going to wait until after the Passover. Well, we were almost to the end of the Passover. Okay? And so Peter's days are short. Okay? Maybe 1, maybe 2 that we're looking at. And so let's take a look at these three here. The quaternions, or whatever that is. Quaternions. Okay? A quaternion is 4 guards. Okay? That's 4 guards. 4 quaternions would be 16 people, okay? And so what you have is you have it into 4 different groups, and it's 1 for each night of the watch. And so what you have, the way that this was to work, is you'd have 1 on one side of the prisoner, 1 on the other side of the prisoner, and you are literally chained to them, okay? And 2 standing outside the door, okay? And then the rest of the guys are on station somewhere there to rotate and take out. So there's 16 people to guard this one guy. He's a high-value prisoner. Pray earnestly, made without ceasing, intense. What were they expecting, though? Because as we go through the story, what are they expecting? Okay, they're intensely praying, which is outstanding. This was great that they were doing this. But what's their expectation? Okay, what's their expectation? What are they thinking is going to happen? They're upset. And so how many times, put yourself into one of those predicaments. Child's lost, and you can't find the child. And so you're praying earnestly, but you are scared to death. Okay, there is no peace at this point. And so when you think of these, it's like going, how do I install this and expect to have the miracles, try to bring about peace, and yet be praying earnestly all at the same time? Okay, and so as we go through this, there was one other thing I kind of want to point out, if I can get back to it here. Let me take a peek here real quick. I'm sorry. I made a note in the other Bible, and I forgot to transfer it over to this one. Okay. Well, never mind. Okay, we'll move on there. Okay, sleeping is the other thing. You remember when Paul and Silas were in prison? What were they doing? They were singing. Yeah. Okay, they were singing. And I think about this. I think about the two. These are two polar opposite things, but both of them are at peace. Both of them. And I'm thinking to myself, the panic. How would I be? I'm chained to one guy, chained to the other, and I know what happened to James. And I'm thinking to myself, what I'm expecting some big miracles here. I'm going to need them. I'm going to need them. But Paul and Silas were singing, okay? And here's Peter sleeping, okay? Sleeping between, chained to 2 guys, and Christ is out. Now, think about this. If the watches of the night, there's 4 of them, you're going to be getting woken up all the time when they're changing out the chains on the guards as they're going through the... And here he is sleeping. Oh, sorry. Hey, how are you guys doing? How's work today? You know, you think about the sheepdog and the wolf as they pass, you know, on the Warner Brothers saying, hey, Sam, how's job? This is how I think about that there. Okay, now let's go... Who was next on the line? Were you next, Melania? Let's go 7 through 10 for me, would you?
Yep. And lo, a messenger of the Lord stood over him, and a light shone in the cell, and
smiting
the side of Peter. He roused him up, saying, "Rise up quickly!" And his chains fell off from his hands. And the messenger said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And he did so. And he saith unto him, "Throw around thee thy mantle, and be following me. And coming out, he began following, and knew not that it was true which was coming about through means of the messenger. But he supposed that a vision he was beholding. And passing through the first ward and the second, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, and which of its own accord opened unto them. And coming out, they went on through the street, and straightway the messenger was parted from him.
That's it. Okay, and when you see this here, one of the nice things also about the Rotherham I want to explain here is most of the other translations you're going to see where it says angel. Okay, an angel of God, or the angel of the Lord, it will say in the New Testament. And it's a messenger. Anybody who comes and delivers a message or does something in place of is a messenger. That's what they're referred to. All the other translations will call it an angel. I love this here because it may be something that looks just completely ordinary. It may just be another person that's right there with you. It's a messenger, something delivering a message or bringing us. But it makes me laugh. You know, he's asleep, so he comes in there and taps him on the side. Pop, pop, pop. Hey, wake up. Wake up. And here's this light coming on through there. Now, the ruse, let's look back here. Where was that here? What verse was that? The 7:7 stood over him, and Peter. And, okay, you see that here? And I think it's in one of my notes here. Oops, let me back up here. Rused, okay? That's in verse 7. Rused is the egairo, okay? Which is important because it's the raising up. It's the raising up. It has a whole different version than where you see rise up underneath that. Those are two different words. They're two different words. And so the first one they put in there, they roused him, saying he egairoed him. He brought him up, awakened him, okay? Walking past the two guard posts, on its own accord, the gate opened up to them. So you think about this as, you know, you watch the movies, and the big old like 19th century, you know, the early 1900s prisons that had those gigantic gates that would open up when the prisoner would go out. Yeah. That's what this was, okay? And I want to kind of think on this, because as I was going through and preparing for this, I thought to myself, the gates opened automatically. The messenger didn't touch them. They opened on their own accord. The messenger did not grab a hold of them and break the chains free or break them open. The gates opened on their own. On their own accord, they opened. And so you think about that, and you're like going, how can that be? Well, that's a miracle. Okay? And I want to think about it. I want to put it into context for ourselves. If you had somebody from the time of Christ, if you had one of the people that came back, and they were in your car with you, first of all, they'd be blown away with the car. But you pull up to your garage, and you hit the remote, and the garage door opens up. And they're like going, that's a miracle. That's a miracle. And you're like going, no, it really isn't. Because I can explain how it works. When I push this button, the signal goes to there. And they're like going, well, where's that signal? I didn't see it. We really can't see it. But it's there. Trust me, it's there. That's what sends it. So the signal goes, and the signal hits this motor. And this motor, which is plugged in, has electricity, which turns it and opens the door. And he goes, well, let me see the electricity. Well, you can't really see the electricity either. But trust me, it's there and it works. And so we explain it as like, this is just normal. This is just normal. And that's where we have to change our expectations that when we tap into Yahweh's, that we look at it the same way. That this isn't, yeah, it's miraculous. Not that big of a deal. It really isn't. You should be expecting this. How come you haven't had that happen? Yeah. And that's where we need to change our expectations, that where we open up a garage door and all the things that take place when we do that, we just blow off like, well, yeah, duh, I can explain totally how this works. Okay. Well, guess what? Yahweh's saying, I want this to work for you too. I want to give this to you. I don't have to explain it. Be expecting it, knowing that when you go in, I'll give it to you. That's the Greek word there, the automatos. That's when it says on its own accord. That's the word, which means automatically. Messenger Yahweh escorted him the first street and then was gone. And what did it say when he was gone, Melanie? What was that, the last part of that? In verse 10,
which I was on accord. Passing through the first Lord. The second they came into the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which of its own accord opened unto them, and coming out by the messenger was parted from him.
That's right, and was gone. The messenger was gone, just was gone. And so like going, okay, job's done. You're on your own. Now, guess what? There wasn't a flock of, you think of a prison break and the lights all going off and the dogs being alerted. Nobody following him, nobody anything. You're just out First Street. We'll see you later. Take care, guy. Give me five. Thanks, man. Okay, you, I think, are next on the line here. 11 through 16, why don't you read those for me?
And Peter, coming to himself, said, now I know of a truth that the Lord hath sent forth his messenger and taken me out of the hand of Herod and all his expectation of the people of the Jews. And considering the matter, he came unto the house of Mary, the mother of John, who is surnamed Mark. There is a considerable number were gathered together and praying. And when he had knocked at the door of the porch, there came unto a maiden to hearken him by name Rhoda,
which is Rose.
And recognizing the voice of Peter by reason of her joy, she opened not the porch, but running in bare tidings that Peter was standing before the porch. But they unto her said, thou art raving.
So hold on a second here. So here it is. This is a group of people who are praying earnestly. Okay? Thank you for praying earnestly. This is what we need. And then he shows up. And so again, going, oh, free him. Do something for him.
Just get him out.
And then, get him out. Help us. What do we need to do? And then he's down there. And I think about Peter. Will you open the gate, please?
Looking for me.
Come on. Open the gate, please. I think to myself, maybe if he would have just done like the truffle shuffle or something like that, he could have opened the gate. But here he is standing there, nobody pursuing him. And yes, this woman did this, but so the expectations, they're praying earnestly, but is it in fear? Are we in peace? So should we be shocked when Peter shows up? Should we say that this woman is raving? What's wrong with you, woman? Okay. All right, go ahead there with 15 and 16.
She, however, kept on strongly declaring that so it was. But they were saying, it is his messenger. And Peter continued knocking and opening. In opening, they saw him and were amazed.
That's it. Okay, so yes, they were amazed when they opened up the door. And Peter continued knocking. And I just think to myself, Peter's standing out there going, hey, it's been quite the night, guys. Can you open up here, please? I'm here.
Can I go to the bathroom?
I really need to wash my hands, man. All expectation, okay? All expectation is good or evil. So when you see that, all expectation, okay? Good or evil, what's the expectation? Are we expecting things to crash, or are we expecting things to be blessed with? Because if you expect things to be evil and things just always happen to bad to me, well, okay, good luck with that. Yeah. Expect that, and that's what you'll probably get. Okay, and so here when we look at this here, this is the word that we're looking at under the expectation. Okay, and to look, waited for, expect, be in expectation. To expect, whether in thought, hope, or fear. To look for or to wait for. And so this is where for us to be able to expect, to change what our expectations are, so that we're continually doing that self-assessment to what are my expectations? What am I expecting for this year? What am I expecting within 5 years? Peter left knocking. His messenger, and this is kind of an interesting thing, in the companion Bible that they talk about, they believed in a guardian messenger. It says that everybody has a guardian angel, guardian messenger. They believed in this. And so they tell Rose or Rhoda, no, it's Peter's messenger. It's his guardian angel. It's not Peter. What are you, raving? It kind of makes me laugh because the people believed, but then yet when Peter's coming around, they're like, not ready for it. I'm like going, be ready for it. Be ready for it. Be expecting it. Be ready to do it. So what do you expect? What do you expect? Okay, and this is where it's always a cop-out. I rarely hear that. Somebody goes to Vegas. How much did you lose? You can always expect that. This is just the nature of us that we focus on. And it's the same way with the news. News that's worthy of telling is normally because it's like a car accident or a train wreck where everybody's interested in it. You're morbidly connected to this somehow. And you're like going, versus the other things, the wonderful things. And so what do you expect? What do I expect? Let's change the expectations. In life, you often get what you expect. Okay, this is a guy who wrote this book, A Proven Plan to Stop Drifting and Get the Life You Want. Get what you expect and expect what you get. And so to change our expectations to get to this point. Let's flip over here, flip back a little bit. Old Testament, page 544, Psalms 34. And I'll read this one here. It's chapter 34, once everybody's there, on page 554. Okay, I'll read these here, and this is verses 1 through 10.
Chapter 1?
Chapter 34, page 540. Oh, you're on a different one. Chapter 34, verses 1 through 10. Let me bless Yahweh at all times, continually be His praise in my mouth. In Yahweh, now this is not conditional, okay? So this praise is not a conditional thing. This is at all times, because the praise helps bring about change as well. In Yahweh, boasteth my soul, the patient oppressed one shall hear and be glad. Ascribe greatness unto Yahweh with me, and let us exalt His name together. I inquired of Yahweh, and He hath answered me. And out of all my terrors hath He rescued me. They looked unto Him and were radiant. And as for their faces, let them not be abashed. This oppressed one cried, and Yahweh heard, and out of the distress saved him. And the messengers of Yahweh encampeth around them who revere Him. And so, when we say, and we're like going, yes, there's additional powers out there that we're unaware of. There are spiritual things and a spiritual warfare that's taking place that we don't see. And so to understand that, the messengers of Yahweh encampeth around them who revere Him. Thus hath He delivered them of taste. O taste and see what good is Yahweh. How happy the man who seeketh refuge in Him. Revere Yahweh, ye His holy ones, for there is no want to them who revere Him. Young lions have come short and suffered hunger, but they who seek Yahweh shall not lack anything good. And so through this is the thing to be encouraged that, you know, people will look at it and I think to themselves how, you know, you're in a country where it's run by a despot, something that's a tyrannical, you know, government. And you think there's just no way out of this. There's nothing that can be done. You know, everything's got to change. And Yahweh's able to still work within those places, to have high expectations. Let's flip over here. We got one more here. Flip back a couple pages to Psalms 30.
Oh, God.
All right. How about an adult read this for me, if they would, please? 1 through 5.
I will. I will extol Thee, O Yahweh, for Thou hast drawn me up, and not suffered my foes to rejoice over me. O Yahweh, my God, or my Elohim, I cried for help unto Thee, and Thou hast healed me. O Yahweh, Thou hast lifted out of Hades my soul. Thou hast brought me back to life from among those who were going down to the pit. Sweep the strings to Yahweh, ye His men of loving kindness. And give ye praise at the mention of His holiness. For there is a moment in His anger, a lifetime in His good pleasure. In the evening cometh weeping to the lodge, but by morning 'tis a shout of triumph.
That's it. And so the thing is, is this to show a nature of Yahweh, that even during the punishment, that there's always the mourning for the change. And to be, there's two things in here that, again, it says, sweep the strings to Yahweh. To sing out to Yahweh. It's not a request. Well, you probably should sweep the strings to Yahweh, you men of loving kindness, and give you praise at the mention of His holiness. Okay? And so these are things that we can do for jump starters for this. But the whole encouragement is to change. To change our expectancy of what we want, what we think, and what Yahweh can do for us. That if we change how we look at how we perceive things, that it will change our entire outlook. And so to be expecting, that is the moral of the story. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and close and then have a word for all those that are watching at a later point, I think. Yahweh, we thank You for every opportunity we have to study Your Word, to come before You, to intercede with You, to fellowship with You, to be able to hear the the positions that you are calling us to, that we set ourselves daily, that we come before you, and that we work ourselves to where we are the point that we wake up in the morning and say, your servant awaiteth. Your servant awaiteth as we wake up every day, that we serve you and that we walk before you, that we are greatly pleasing to you and able to walk in the ways of you. And we can start that by knowing your word, by knowing your statutes, that we can be well-pleasing unto you. For it is not for you to be well-pleasing to us, but for us to come to you, and for us to do the things you've called, that we become a sweet savior that is a great aroma to you. And so we thank you for that, that we continually align ourselves, that we come before you and seek forgiveness for the things that we have strayed from, and set ourselves anew, that as we come before and repent before you, that you are just to forgive us and to clean the slate, that the sins are cast as far as the east is from the west. So we thank you for this, for every opportunity that is before us. We thank you that we're able to reach those that you call before us, and that our hesitancy to stand bold for you, that we push these to the side, and that we do stand bold and fear not, that we are walking greatly before you. We thank you for this, and we thank you, Christ, for being our head, as we are your hands and feet, and your mouthpiece as well. And so we thank you for this, for the words that you put upon us. We just speak this all through your name, Yahushua Mashiach. My sons and daughters, I tell you to call before me, call out my name, that I may be able to respond to you. For I am there and I see the things, and I am limited by your actions and you not coming to me and not calling upon me. Call upon me that I am able to respond, that I am able to work with you. For it is as of a dance, that as you move, that I move with you, and that we are coordinating together, that I can do many wonderful things. For I am not limited. I am not limited in what is available. Only your mind will limit. Only the things that are righteous and just are limiting. For I can do anything, and it's of great delight that I am able to work with my children who stand bold before me and who are expecting that as you come before me, as you call out, and as you align yourself within my words, that I will deliver greatly upon you, that I heap up things that you will not even be able to hold on to. For things that I will be able to entrench you in just marvels and wonderful things and glory and peace and healings that you are seeking and call out for. So of these things I call out to you, that you may be able to call to me and seek me, that I may be able to deliver. All right.